Ken's last ever radio extravaganza. This will be shortly Ken's last ever radio extravaganza.
Causes. When we look at things like a flower, a table, or a house, we think that a house has to be made by someone, and a table has to be made by someone in order to be there. Our tendency is to look for a cause that has given birth to the house, a cause that has given birth to the table. We come to the conclusion that the cause of the house must be the house builder, the mason, or the carpenter. What is the cause of the table? Who created the table? A carpenter. Who is the creator of the flower? Is it the earth, or the farmer, or the gardener? In our minds, we think very simply in terms of cause.
See, remember that phrase or belief we talked about earlier? I want to reinforce it again. If you want to succeed in your life, remember this phrase. The past does not equal the future.
Meditate means to be invited on a journey of looking deeply. I would rather die than marry anyone but her. Seeing emotions through the eyes of impermanence. Appreciating earth. Nirvana. The sheet of paper on which these words are written. Where does the flame come from? What are we running after? Where were you before you were born? No self. Impermanence is looking at reality from the point of view of time. Chapter 2. The Real Fear. Nothing is born, nothing dies. Appreciating Earth. For many years I've told the story. Suppose two astronauts go to the moon. When they arrive, they have an accident. Chapter 6. The Address of Happiness. If you want to know where God, the Buddhas, and all the great beings live, I can tell you.
Because you failed yesterday, or all day today, or a moment ago, or for the last 6 months, or for the last 16 years, the last 50 years of life doesn't mean anything. All that matters is what are you going to do right now? Otherwise, you carry all that luggage, all that load of negative emotion with you, and it'll affect your present performance. I got started talking to him, and I wanted to get a Dickens on him, if you will. So what I'd like to talk about here is not only how to make relationships work, but what are the two factors that cause most relationships to die? Invariably, negative anchors are what destroy relationships. That's the number one killer. Again, what do I mean by that? The law of familiarity simply says this. If you're around anything enough, you take it just a little bit for granted.
So how do we practice? We start by practicing with small things. The little slights. You know those little slights that happen? The people that we live with and work with. We start by practicing letting go. What does it feel like just to release that?
Up number three. Hey, have you ever procrastinated?
To forgive is healthy for the cells of our body. It's important for the way that we live in this world to allow us to release the burden of the past and move on so that we can love again the people around us, the earth, the rivers and oceans and creatures of the earth and the humans.
Now I got a question for you. What happens when two pains come up side by side? What happens when if you do something, it's going to be painful, but if you don't do it, it's going to be painful?
The sheet of paper on which these words are written has a history. A page in the book that you are holding in your hands took its form in a single moment. That does not mean that it was the moment of its birth.
Even though it's primarily for ourselves, do not think that forgiveness is for yourself alone. Mahatma Gandhi said, "I believe in the unity of all that lives, and therefore I believe that if one person gains, the whole world gains, and if one person falls, the whole world falls to that extent."
Which action will you take? I'm not one of those people that says just be a positive thinker all the time. Some people tell you in life to succeed, what you're supposed to do is look at the weeds in your garden and say, "There's no weeds, there's no weeds, there's no weeds." Hey, they'll take your garden. But the question is, how could somebody go to school? How could somebody go to a seminar? How could somebody read an excellent book and still not produce the result, not apply all the stuff that they've read? And you know what? I've been guilty of it too, so I'm not pointing fingers.
In all of the great spiritual traditions of the world, it is taught how to live from the heart by the wise elders, whether it's the wisdom of Solomon or the words of the Bhagavad Gita, the practices of the Buddha, the teachings of Jesus, the elders on every continent.
My dear friends in Christ, there is a supremely important message in today's gospel story. It was laid down by law that every adult Jewish male who lived within 15 miles of Jerusalem must attend the feast of the Passover.
My view is say there's going to be weeds, so pull the suckers out and move on. I'm not one of those people that says just be a positive thinker.
One essential art for the human heart to live well. What's past is finished.
meditation on the historical dimension. Nothing is lost.
I remember I read a book, and it was a great book, and it was all about how to manage my finances. And I remember reading this thing and saying, this is great stuff. I've got to do this. And I was inspired. But you know what? About a month later, I noticed I hadn't done anything on it.
All of this is well understood. Business press, let's go to Caterpillar and the Decatur strike. The business press has pointed out that Caterpillar, I'm quoting, is pursuing a business strategy that has nudged workers from defiance to compliance. Well, how'd they nudge workers from defiance to compliance? The technique was to build excess capacity in other countries, like, say, Brazil or Japan or Eastern Europe and so on. Which means that when you have a strike in Decatur, you can supply your markets by overproduction elsewhere. That's alongside of hiring scabs and temporary workers and so on and so forth. Same is here. One of the big manufacturers left here is Gillette, and they have informed the business press that they are doing exactly the same thing. They're building excess capacity, even in Germany, which has a strong labor movement, hence much better wages, much lower working hours and more benefits and so on. So they're willing to do that. They are not for profits, but for class war. So they'd like to have an excess labor capacity in high labor, high wage places for the purpose of class war, because as they explain, quite frankly, if there's a strike in Boston, they can supply European and American markets from their excess capacity that they've produced over there.
For example, if you're looking at that piece of chocolate, and you think about eating the chocolate, and you just let your mind flow based on its old associations, it might say, yumbo, it's time to eat. You might immediately get that pleasure feeling. And as long as you focus on the pleasure you're going to get, and that is your primary focus, and that's what's most real to you, then you're going to be drawn towards the chocolate.
Singing this song to a dying person can help them be free from thinking that they have a permanent identity that is connected to any part of the body or mind. All things that are composite decompose, but our true selves do not disappear into oblivion. This kind of guided meditation helps us to avoid being caught in the idea that we are this body, we are this thought, and we are this emotion.
So I want you to remember this tape. I know I've said some of the same basic ideas over and over again. So how can we use this in other areas of our life? So why didn't I follow through? I believe that every single person on this earth is driven by two forces. So what if you saw somebody that you were really attracted to and you wanted to be with them, you wanted to develop a relationship, but you didn't follow through? So what do we need to do to change our eating patterns? What do we need to do so we get permanent weight loss and we have the physical health we want? Your brain will do anything to avoid massive pain. So let's go on to the next step. The next step, as I said, is we want to learn now how do we change some of our beliefs. Step number 4.
Forgiveness means giving up all hope for a better past.
In point of fact, it was the aim of every Jew in all the world, at least once in a lifetime, to attend the feast in Jerusalem.
Is the art of forgiveness.
A new story of dying. In the early 1990s, I was on my way to the Omega Institute in upstate New York.
Well, it's actually very simple. Because we've laid such a strong foundation, you now know how to change virtually anything. Do you remember the three keys to neuroassociative conditioning? We said, one, you've got to get leverage on yourself.
Extensions and their traits by the thousands.
He must pretend to know more than he does, but we must always show less than we know.
I have grown into womanhood in a world where the saner you are, the madder you are made to appear. We do not just imagine that we have to live.
Sexy Sadie, oh, what have you done? Sexy Sadie, you broke the rules. You laid it down for all to see. You laid it down for all to see.
Thank you.
You're still listening to Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza. Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza. If there is meaning, if there is purpose, cohesiveness, form, and intention in this world, in this show, in your life, you might know it, and maybe I do not. If you can listen to Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza, then you can use the internet archives of all the past shows. The one that has just happened isn't there yet, because it's actually still happening now. All moments of Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza collaged live are happening live. They're created and performed right now live on the air this moment. But if you are listening to the recording of this, which would be happening if you're listening on the internet later, then you would know that the address is on the internet, counterfolk.com/last-ever. Or you could just search on the web for Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza. Very important that you send your feedback. Just the fact that you've listened to this is feedback, and you must send that, please, by sending email to ken@counterfolk.com. Send that email and just say hello or goodbye. And listen again next week and every Tuesday night from 6:30 until 7 p.m. right here where you're listening. Or listen during the rest of the week on an electronic device. Thanks for listening here and now to Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza. You can also send your feedback immediately in 5 minutes by calling 512-472-5667. And that is something you can do. Austin leaves the air momentarily. It is going off the air, and when it comes back on the air, it'll be 9 o'clock in the morning. But if you can't wait that long, then tune in moments to hear KVRX, which is not the same as Co-op Radio. Listening to Ken's Last Ever Radio Extravaganza. Thank you for not listening.
Ending notions of happiness. Each of us has a notion of how we can be happy. It would be very helpful if we took the time to reconsider our notions of happiness. We could make a list of what we think we need to be happy. I can only be happy if.
It's done. It's over.
Hey, I'm talking to you right now because years ago I linked up in my head that if I learned things that could really make a difference and share them with people, that, hey, that would give me an incredible sense of contribution. And that those people would like me, that they'd love me, that we have an incredible relationship. That has driven my life. And I got to tell you something, it's more of a high for me than any amount of money, although I certainly like to make money, or any amount of growth, or any amount of development, virtually any other area.